Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Staying on the subject of the 2014 U.S. Religious Landscape Study, a new Pew survey on America's changing religious landscape, joining us, Dr. John Green. He's Distinguished Professor of Political Science and Director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron, Senior Advisor with the Pew Research Center. Dr. Green, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
I was recently speaking with Terry Mattingly of the syndicated column On Religion, and I had asked him near the end of an interview, he was kind of going on gushing about your ability about 10, 15 years ago to see these trends coming in the American religious landscape. And I said, if you could ask Dr. Green one question today, especially on the heels of this new survey, what would it be? He said the question he would ask is, can you envision a future America in which the truly doctrinal religious believers went down to 20%? What's your response to that?
You know, that's a really good question. And the answer is I can imagine that. I think it would be a considerably distant in the future, because even though we do see a decline in traditional religiosity, there's still a lot of traditionally religious people in the United States. But if you look at the trends we've been observing for the last four decades and project that without change, and of course you always have to do that when you project, forward five, six decades, you know, we might begin to approach the point where traditionally religious people are a minority in the United States. And if that were to happen, then it's easy to see how that might, again, many decades beyond that, get down below one-fifth of the population.
We've actually seen that. I mean, not to get too far afield from our subject, we've seen this happen demographically in northern Europe, in the Scandinavian countries, haven't we?
Well, we certainly have, and many scholars would argue that that's the natural consequence of the modern world, and not that religion disappears completely, but that traditional forms of religiosity become more and more marginal. And you might argue that every country has its own trajectory, but we've certainly seen evidence of that in Northern Europe.
What is the takeaway for you, the most important thing, the most significant thing, from the recent Pew Center Religious Landscape Survey?
Well, I'd say there were really two closely related things. One is that the increase in the number of people who tell us that they're not affiliated with any kind of religion is not just increasing, it's increasing at a faster rate. We've seen an acceleration over the last 7 years, and I think that's really quite interesting. This trend is not entirely new. It's been going on for a while, but at a much slower pace, and now we've seen that pace pick up fairly dramatically, and related to that acceleration of the trend in the unaffiliated is the fact that the trend seems to be very widespread. We see it in all different parts of the country, among different age groups, across ethnic and racial lines. Now, it's not equal across all of those different divisions. There's less change in the South, for instance, than in the West, on the West Coast and in the Northeast, but we see the trend everywhere. And what that tells me is that this is a societal trend. It's not based around a particular issue or a particular region or a particular kind of demography, that it's really more of a societal transformation.
That's one of the things noted in the survey, is that regardless of geographical region, we think about the South as kind of the Bible Belt. There, the nuns now constitute, and this was a surprising percentage to me, 19% of the adult population. That seems to be pretty important. And the Midwest, of course, we're talking there about 22% self-identifying as none of the above.
Exactly. And I think that's really important. So it's not just the size of the group. It's the fact that the group is very widespread across geography and demography.
What is this phenomenon that seems to attend this switching religions that's noted in the Pew survey?
Well, the Americans do switch religion. They always have, more so than in many other countries. And that's partly because, in one form or another, the American religious landscape has always had an element of diversity. A couple hundred years ago, it was switching from Baptists to Quakers to Presbyterians, you know, that kind of change within Northern European Protestant religious groups. In recent times, of course, we have a much wider range of religious groups, and so one sees switching. It is fairly important, though, for the increase in the unaffiliated, because the largest group of the unaffiliated were raised in some kind of faith context. The largest group, of course, in some kind of Christian context, since that's the largest religious groups in the United States are part of Christianity. So switching out of religion into an unaffiliated status is a very important part of the story.
Let's talk a little bit about the place of Roman Catholicism in the latest survey results. And that has to do with it losing ground through religious switching more than any other religious confession, more than any other religious sector. What are your thoughts there?
Well, this is a bit of a controversial finding. We see this, some other surveys see it. Many other very fine survey researchers don't quite see what we see. So it's important to note that, you know, we may be a bit of an outlier, or we may be just on the cutting edge of change. Most religious groups lose people every year and gain people every year. And a group grows, of course, if it gains more than it loses. Roman Catholics of European descent, which we usually refer to as white Roman Catholics, have been declining for some time. But the overall Roman Catholic numbers have stayed high because of immigration. In recent times, particularly Hispanic immigration, but there's Asian immigration, and you know, there have been waves and waves and waves of, if you look back over American history, of different kinds of Catholic immigrants. I think what's interesting about our findings is we see a sharper decline among white Catholics, a lot of it having to do with the older generations passing on, but the Catholic population hasn't kept up because of a lack of increase in non-white Catholics. And some of this has to do with the fact that immigration from Latin America slowed down over the last few years, in part due to the economic recession, but perhaps for other reasons too, including economic development in Latin America. So we see an overall decline in Catholic numbers.
How have evangelicals fared according to the latest survey?
Well, the evangelical religious tradition is the largest religious tradition in the United States, and it has shown some declines as well, but much smaller declines than Roman Catholics or mainline Protestants. It's just about 1%, 0.9% decline compared to 7 years ago. So that would make evangelicals to be roughly what they've been for a while now, one quarter of the adult population. The absolute number of evangelicals appears to be going up because, of course, the population is going up, and one quarter of a larger number turns out to be more people. But I think evangelicals have had advantages over other large Christian groups. One is that they tend to be younger. They've attracted a larger number of young people, although their rates of intermarriage or interfaith marriage are comparable to some groups. They're higher than for mainline Protestants for mainline Protestants, and that has something to do with keeping children in the faith. But also, evangelicals turn out to be good evangelizers, and this is the one religious tradition, large religious tradition, that has net gain from conversions. And so for a whole variety of reasons, the decline is much smaller among evangelicals than among other large Christian communities.
Dr. John Green is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 13th. He's senior advisor with the Pew Research Center. We're talking about the 2014 U.S. Religious Landscape Study. We'll be right back.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Vision casting leaders in the church. Differences between men and women. Naturalism. Biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues, Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the new Pew Survey on America's changing religious landscape. Dr. John Green is our guest, distinguished professor of political science and director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. He's senior advisor with the Pew Research Center. Dr. Green, I'd like your thoughts on the finding from the Pew Research that the unaffiliated, that group we were talking about before, are comparatively young as a group and getting younger on average over time.
That's a really important thing to discuss, because the major factor in these shifts that we're talking about is generational replacement. The older generations that were much more involved in organized religion are passing from the scene. The younger generations that are coming into adulthood and therefore would be in a survey like the one that we did are much less engaged in organized religion. You know, if our numbers for the millennial generation are that more than a third do not identify with a religious community at all. And we've actually seen this for a while. If you go back to the baby boomers, they were less religious than their parents, and each generation seems to move a step away from organized religion. And there's some evidence that the long-term pattern is set by the early years of each generation. So while some baby boomers return to religion in middle age, the baby boom generation as a whole never returned to the level of their parents and their grandparents. So a lot of what's happening in these numbers is that for one reason or another, younger American adults are less involved in organized religion. Now, that doesn't mean that they are all atheists and agnostics, groups, by the way, that are included in the unaffiliated and are also growing, because many of the unaffiliated have religious beliefs, are interested in spiritual matters. Some of them even engage in religious practices. They're just not engaged in organized religion, the way that many of us think about religion, as being a set of congregations and related institutions.
Talk a little bit about the racial and ethnic diversity. What emerged there? What was the picture that emerged from the Pew Research?
Well, the United States has for some time been becoming more diverse in racial and ethnic terms. In some respects, this is nothing new. If you think of the United States as historically being a collection of immigrants from different parts of the world. We've always had new kinds of diversity appearing, and we've seen growth in the non-white population over the last several decades. And so American society as a whole has experienced these trends, so it's not surprising that these would show up in religious institutions. We've seen, for instance, the evangelical tradition now have more Hispanics and African Americans and Asians than it did just a couple of decades ago. Mainline Protestants have not been as effective in absorbing the new non-white population. As I indicated, Roman Catholics, who have traditionally done very well there, have, at least in this survey, experienced less gains. But we also find racial and ethnic diversity among the unaffiliated. Many young Hispanics and young African Americans are moving away from organized religion at not quite the same rates as their white counterparts, but very much the same kind of pattern.
What would you say in terms of trends we ought to be paying attention to, especially, let's say we've had this survey from 2007, 2014. What should we expect to see, or what would you think we'd expect to see of a similar survey in 2021?
Well, because of the generational replacement dynamic underlying these numbers, I suspect that 7 years from now, or 10 years from now, we would see an increase in the unaffiliated population, particularly those individuals who are not necessarily non-religious, but just not engaged in an organized religion. But one of the things that I'm going to watch is to what extent that this unaffiliated population becomes self-consciously secular, with a secular worldview, perhaps with institutions that perform many of the social functions of congregations and religious institutions, but now in an entirely secular context. There's a little bit of an indication of that in these data because the number of self-identified atheists and agnostics has increased, and there's reason to believe that in some ways they have a more secular outlook than their counterparts 7 years ago. So one could imagine the development of a secular subculture in the United States that is in many ways similar to the various religious subcultures we have, but of course without God or those kinds of supernatural values.
Are we in need of a term? We have the terms nuns, unaffiliated. Those are obviously complex because that includes a number of subgroups there. Then within Christian, we have Catholic, evangelical, mainline Protestant. We have other Protestants. Are we in need of a term for that group that is, perhaps to put it in Catholic terms, the mass-going, confession-going, regular attending religious affiliation, whatever their stripe may be? Do we need to be able to tease that out with an additional way of talking about that group?
You know, I think it would be very, very useful to have some language to talk about that, because much of the language we have for discussing religion comes from an era that appears to be passing, where religious affiliation, rooted in part in ethnicity and part in geography, was the key distinctive among religious people. One didn't, for instance, find as big a differences by belief or by worship attendance or by frequency of prayer. One found distinctiveness in these organizations that embodied particular doctrinal stances. It doesn't mean that everybody in the pews quite understood those doctrinal stances or readily identified with them. But now we're moving into a world where beliefs and behaviors, in religious terms, may be more important forms of identification, or the absence of belief and behavior, to look at the other side of that, than these historic institutions themselves.
You said earlier, finally, that what we see there in the Northern Europe, Scandinavian countries, perhaps is some have speculated, the inevitable trend when modernity meets religious affiliation. What do you make of that theory? Do you think that that's what we're watching here, the catalytic effect between the two?
I'm not sure that the United States really fits the European model all that accurately, for a couple of reasons. One, if you look at the history of church-state relations in Northern Europe and in the United States, they're really quite different. And the United States never had an established religion in the sense of an official state-sponsored religion, but at the same time, the American Constitution and many laws and court decisions since then have guaranteed a free exercise of religion. So the United States operates in a very, very different context. Also, because the United States is a country made up of immigrants, a country that is, in many respects, highly individualistic, I'm not sure that that our context really fits Northern Europe. I think that the United States is an example of a country that can be very modern, but also very religious. But the question becomes, how will the unique circumstances of the United States play out in terms of the strong secularizing tendencies of the modern world? And I think what we're seeing in this survey and some other surveys in recent times is that many of the traditional ways that religious people organize themselves are open to erosion by what some scholars have called the acids of modernity. So I'm not sure that the American trajectory is going to be the same as Northern Europe, but I think there is something in the fact that there is a tension between the modern world and traditional religiosity.
Dr. John Green is a distinguished professor of political science and director of the Racy Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. He's senior advisor with the Pew Research Center. You can read the new Pew Forum survey on the religious landscape in America at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Green, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss biblical womanhood with Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel. They are co-authors of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Ladylike, Living Biblically. We'll talk with Dr. Robert Bennett of Luther Academy about Lutheran missions, and we'll find Christ in Psalm chapter 8. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A great Mother's Day gift, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.